follow his example. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Oh, Jesus, we thank you tonight. You are so good to us. We just want to walk like you. We want to imitate you. Be just like you, Lord, in wisdom, in the favor of God, walking in the Spirit, hallelujah. Glory to God. Walking in authority, walking in love, walking in faith, walking in the light, just like you walked. Hallelujah. Praise God. We thank you, Lord, that's what you require, what you expect. That's what you want out of your children. And we are your children. We're heirs. We're your heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, you've already provided everything we need. Hallelujah. We bless you tonight, and we thank you for the goodness of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We say the word, and then we live the word. Hallelujah. We speak it, and then we live it. If you say, Pastor, I'm just away from God right now, and I want to get close. I'm tired of walking the wrong way. And I want to walk just like Jesus did. I backslid. I walked another path. But I want to get on the right path now. I want to start walking like he walked. Say, boy, I need this, Pastor. This word was for me. I need to get back in step with God. This is for me. This is available for me. I don't want to waste another day. Tomorrow might be too late. Don't say tomorrow. Say right now. I'm going to pray with you right where you're at. Just say this here from your heart. Heavenly Father, forgive me for how I've lived. I have not walked with you to the degree that I know I should be. So, Lord, I repent. I change my mind. Now, Lord, help me. Strengthen me now. I come get the grace and the mercy I need for this time in my life. I know that you have a plan for my life. And right now, I choose to imitate you. I choose to walk just like Jesus walked. So, Lord, from this moment forward, from right now, I rededicate my life to you, to walk in the Spirit, to walk in love, to walk in faith, to walk in wisdom, to walk in divine grace and favor, to walk with you in every area of my life. I thank you, Lord, for the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus. I'm clean by the blood and by the word that I heard tonight. Now, Lord, fill me with the Spirit so I can be led by the Spirit of God. Fill me right now. Hallelujah.
May I have your attention?
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
Great variety
of
music.
Different music.
Tons of music.
Awesome.
On. Online anytime. 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
And turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 14, verse 27. Matthew chapter 14, verse 27, a very familiar story that I believe is significant in helping many of us deal with our storms. I don't care who you are, how old you are, what your lot in life, all of us have to contend with storms. And it's important to understand the words of Jesus as we hear this classic story. 14, Matthew, verse 27 says, "But straightway he spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. it is I. Be not afraid. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy words. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. I want to talk about encouraging words during a storm. Encouraging words during a storm. My brothers and sisters, one of the most profound thoughts here is the fact that in the midst of this trial that these his disciples are going through, Jesus, in an uncommon way, in an unlikely way, comforts them with words in the midst of a storm. Now, it's not unusual for Jesus to comfort them in their many situations, their many trials, their many tribulations. But what makes this different is the circumstances surrounding it. If you back up to the 22nd verse, you'll begin to realize that Jesus had just gotten through ministering, and he tells them, I want you to get into the ship and go over to the other side of the sea, and I'll meet you over there. And while he sends them off, he also sends the crowd away. And then he goes into a mountain to pray alone. And then he himself comes later, but not at the point that they were supposed to meet at, not at the point that they expected him, but he comes after they are caught in the middle of the sea, in the middle of a ship, in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a fourth watch, which is between 3 and 6 a.m. in the morning. And he's walking on the water. And they are afraid because they think they see a ghost. The word says a spirit, but it literally means a ghost. They don't think that it's Jesus. They think it's a spirit, a ghost, something that brings terror upon them. Now, here's what I want you to know about all of them. They were all in the ship. All of them were disturbed. Not one of them was not disturbed. All of them were distressed. Not one of them was not distressed. And it seemed like all of them would suffer doom. But here's what I want you to see, my brothers and sisters, that the wisdom of Peter sticks out in a classic way after Jesus says, be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. Now, this verse 28, which is where Peter responds, goes into another part that I'm not going to deal with at this service now, unless the Spirit of course takes me there. But I want to hold up right here at the fact that we must bring this word that Jesus encourages his disciples in the midst of their storms into our own lives as children of God, as disciples of Jesus Christ, as people of faith. Every one of us will have our storms, our struggles, our situations, and our circumstances. Listen, all of them had the same trouble. All of them had the same trouble. Every last one of them in the ship had the same problem. Right. Now listen, they couldn't hide because they were in the ship. Amen. The ship
was in the middle of the sea. The sea was in the midst of a storm. And in the midst of the storm came a spirit walking on the water, which was Jesus. And there was no way to run, nowhere to hide, but to deal with it. And listen, it was up to whatever that was out there that would seal their fate one way or another. Now, one of the things that I want you to understand, and I'm trying to get you to grasp this as we look at this story again, this classic story, is the fact that Jesus knows how to reach us and meet us when we're going through without us even knowing he's right there. Listen, I think you need to see this. The record is that in verse 24, the winds were contrary. They began to toss the ship, which meant that the winds were opposing the instructions of Jesus to go to the other side of the sea. The winds worked as an adversary against the wishes of Jesus. So, since the ship didn't make it to the other side of the sea, Jesus decided to meet them halfway. See, Jesus knows when there are things that hang you up and then things that you hang up. But when things hang you up, it ain't your fault. And Jesus came on the scene because there wasn't much they could do about their situation. So as he comes and approaches the situation, keep in mind, and I just want to throw out this parenthetically, that the storm has already started. Somebody say the storm has already started. The storm has already started when, as we just walk into part of the rest of the text, you will discover that as the storm had already started, Jesus was already walking in the storm. He was walking in the storm. Look at it, if you will. It's just before dawn. You know the saying, it's darkest just before day. Jesus is there walking. The reason they don't recognize him is because the winds are contrary. If the winds are contrary, it means it literally is lifting up the matter of water and spraying it. Which means in a storm that your view is distorted. I wish I had a helper. In a storm, your view is distorted. You don't always see what you think you see in a storm. And so they saw a spirit. They didn't know it was Jesus because their view was distorted. Now listen to this. Not only was their view distorted, but their hope was disturbed. Their hope of getting to the other side, their hope of being able to meet Jesus again, their hope of not perishing in the midst of the sea. Listen, these people were in the middle of that ship not knowing if this was the last time that they would ever see life again. And so in the midst of this sea and the midst of this storm, they are there struggling. Jesus comes to them with the strangest conversation. Be of good cheer. Now, what kind of talk is be of good cheer in the midst of the storm? That just don't seem to go together there. That just don't seem to work right. But I need to tell you some things about this word because it's important. When Jesus said be of good cheer, it meant that you had to have the right comfort. Be of good cheer, comfort. All right, listen. Now, when it talked about
comfort, stay close to me here. It wasn't talking about Southern comfort. Stay with me now, stay with me. Because some people use the wrong kind of stuff to comfort them in a storm. Jesus said, be of good cheer, meaning you have to have the right comfort to be cheerful. What was the comfort that Jesus wanted them to have? It was the fact that Jesus himself, in the midst of the storm, which was another thing that scared them, was the fact that they had never seen him walk on water before. But I need to tell you that sometimes when your storms come up, you'll see Jesus do some things you've never seen him do in your life before. And so he walks on the water to them, and he tells them, be of good cheer. Have the right comfort. Now, the right comfort is knowing that it's not a spirit, but it's Jesus. Jesus is the right comfort. Listen at this. He then goes on to say, it is I. Now, I'm going to come back to that, because he then says, be not afraid. Be, in this context of good cheer, is a state of being. Be not afraid is also a state of being. In the midst of these two states of being is the Savior. And can I tell you, if you have the Savior in the midst of your storm, y'all not hear me, everything will be all right. So look at this now, because when Jesus says, be of good cheer, he was trying to help them understand, wait a minute, your help is here. I know you're worried about the storm. The storm is already raging. It's already tossing the ship to and fro. You can't make it any further because the winds are contrary. They're blowing the ship back, and it seems as if there is no way for you to make it to the other side. So I came to help you. I came to get you in the storm and bring you out of the storm, because I am your comfort. Be of good cheer. Oh, what I love about that, my brothers and sisters, is Jesus is saying to you, and he's saying to me, when you are stuck in a storm and it don't seem like you're able to go any further, and things around you are tossed to and fro, and you can't see things the way they ought to be, and things look strange to you, unfamiliar to you, it's good to know that Jesus will show up in your storm at the point where you need him the most. Be of good cheer. Man, the next time you're going through a storm, Jesus wants you to be of good cheer. Why? Because he's not too far away. See, that's what you need to remind yourself of. This is not just a story about them. This was written for your learning so you can apply the principles to your own life. You got to have the right comfort. But secondly, he says, it is I, which means you got to have the right company. Somebody didn't hear me. Jesus, in the midst of the storm, is the right company. The right company or comforter. Listen, because Jesus is able to do anything but fail. Be of good cheer. It
is I. Now that should have been shout news right there in the storm. They should have broke out in the party right there, yeah, and just went on and enjoyed themselves, because they say, Jesus said, it is I. Listen, listen. They should have known the voice of Jesus. It is I. Don't sound like much on the surface. But if you know Jesus, it's a mouthful. Three words. It is I. I who? John 6:35. I am the bread of life. John 8:12. I am the light of the world. John 8:58. The same I. Before, listen, Abraham was, I am. Yeah. John 10:9. I am the door. John 10:11. I am the good shepherd. John 11:25. I am the resurrection and the life. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 15:1. I am the true vine. I tell you, I am here. Y'all not hearing me here. When he said, it is I, they should have started a shouting celebration, because everything they needed was right there in Jesus. 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 So you have to have the right company, the right comforter, and it's Jesus. Make sure, going through your storm, you have the right company with you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. See, you don't need everybody with you when you're going through your storm. You just need to have the right company with you. You don't need a whole lot of folk with you going through. Sometimes it just needs to be you and Jesus. Back in Louisville, they used to sing a song, Me and Jesus. Got our own thing going. Me and Jesus. Gonna work it out. I wish I had a helper here. Sometime you just got to get used to it being you and Jesus. And I got news for you, my brothers and sisters. I'd face any storm as long as I hear him say, it is I. As long as I've got the right company with me. And then he says, be not afraid. And that means you got to have the right courage. What is the right courage? He's not talking about false courage. See, because you will be afraid when you've got courage, but it's false courage. You know, again, some folk have false courage. They use substances to give them courage. They wouldn't say some things unless they were under the influence. That's false. Because see, if you can't say the same thing in your right mind, it's false courage. In an inebriated state. Have I got a helper here? If you got to shoot something in your arm, sniff something in your nose, drink something down your throat, and any other kind of way, get the wrong kind of courage for you not to be afraid, then the problem is going to be that is not the kind of courage that will last when you need it the most. Be not afraid. That means you've got to have courage on the inside. You've got to have a connection on the inside to the source that's able to do anything but fail. You've got to be all right with any way the wind blows is cool with me. You've got to come to the fact where you know that can't nothing happen unless he allows it to happen. You've got to know with assurance that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You've got to have the courage of knowing that no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. You have got to be assured so that you are not afraid of anything. And in the storm, my brothers and sisters, we become afraid of not that we know, but more of that we do not know. Fear because of the unknown. Fear because we cannot identify what we have seen. Fear because what we're going through is strange, unusual, uncommon. We've never dealt with this before, and we don't know how the outcome is going to be. And we become afraid. We become paralyzed by our own fear. And many times the enemy wins by default. Because we are afraid. We don't do anything because we're afraid. We don't make any attempts because we are afraid. We are literally locked in a place of being paralyzed.
That's it.
Because we are afraid. And my brother and my sister, Jesus wants you to know that as long as he is with you, there's no need to be afraid. No need to be afraid. Or you may be going through things you've never gone through before, experiencing situations you've never fathomed before, but if Jesus is with you, can I tell you there is no need to be afraid? Now, one of the things I want to share with you, and I'm going to leave you alone, it is the fact that Peter, and I want to deal more extensively with this in the next service, but Peter dealt with the wisdom that dealt with the difference that was within him versus the others. Meaning, Peter was the only one who was not paralyzed where he wouldn't do something. Jesus spoke and nobody spoke back to him. But Peter. And Peter said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. Now, I want to bring out this interesting point because this is one of the things that I just gloried in the Word. And Jesus said, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, the record is he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Verse 29. Verse 30 says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II